she says in a tremulous voice. And if they can't catch me, they can't kill me. So don't count me out.
I wouldn't in a million years, says Caesar encouragingly.
The boy tribute from District 11, Thresh, has the same dark skin as Rue, but the resemblance stops there. He's one of the giants, probably 6.5 feet tall and built like an ox. But I noticed he rejected the invitations from the career tributes to join their crowd. Instead, he's been very solitary, speaking to no one, showing little interest in training. Even so, he scored a 10, and it's not hard to imagine he impressed the game makers. He ignores Caesar's attempts at banter and answers with a yes or no, or just remains silent. If only I was his size, I could get away with sullen and hostile, and it would be just fine. I bet half the sponsors are at least considering him. If I had any money, I'd bet on him myself. And then they're calling Katniss Everdeen, and I feel myself, as if in a dream, standing and making my way center stage. I shake Caesar's outstretched hand, and he has the good grace not to immediately wipe his off on his suit.
So, Katniss, the capital must be quite a change from District 12. What's impressed you most since you arrived here? Asks Caesar.
What? What did he say? It's as if the words make no sense. My mouth has gone as dry as sawdust. I desperately find Cinna in the crowd and lock eyes with him. I imagine the words coming from his lips. What's impressed you most since you arrived here? I rack my brain for something that made me happy here. Be honest, I think. Be honest.
The lamb stew, I get out. Caesar laughs, and vaguely I realize some of the audience has joined in.
The one with the dried plums? Asks Caesar.
I nod.
Oh, I eat it by the bucketful.
He turns sideways to the audience in horror, hand on his stomach.
It doesn't show, does it?
They shout reassurances to him and applaud. This is what I mean about Caesar. He tries to help you out.
Now, Katniss, he says confidentially. When you came out in the opening ceremonies, my heart actually stopped. What did you think of that costume?
Cinna raises one eyebrow at me. Be honest.
You mean after I got over my fear of being burned alive? I ask.
Big laugh, a real one from the audience.
Yes, start then, says Caesar.
Cinna, my friend, I should tell him anyway. I thought Cinna was brilliant, and it was the most gorgeous costume I'd ever seen, and I couldn't believe I was wearing it. I can't believe I'm wearing this, either. I lift up my skirt to spread it out. I mean, look at it!
As the audience oohs and ahs, I see Cinna make the tiniest circular motion with his finger. But I know what he's saying.
Twirl for me.
I spin in a circle once, and the reaction is immediate.
Oh, do that again, says Caesar.
And so I lift up my arms and spin around and around, letting the skirt fly out, letting the dress engulf me in flames. The audience breaks into cheers. When I stop, I clutch Caesar's arm.
Don't stop, he says.
I have to. I'm dizzy. I'm also giggling, which I think I've done maybe never in my lifetime, but the nerves and the spinning have gotten to me.
Caesar wraps a protective arm around me.
Don't worry, I've got you. Can't have you following in your mentor's footsteps.
Everyone's hooting as the cameras find Haymitch, who is by now famous for his head dive at the Reaping, and he waves them away good-naturedly and points back to me.
It's all right, Caesar reassures the crowd. She's safe with me. So, how about that training score? 11! Give us a hint what happened in there.
I glance at the game makers on the balcony and bite my lip. All I can say is, I think it was a first.
The cameras are right on the game makers, who are chuckling and nodding.
"You're killing us," says Caesar, as if in actual pain. "Details, details."
I address the balcony. "I'm not supposed to talk about it, right?" The game maker who fell in the punch bowl shouts out, "She's not!" "Thank you," I say. "Sorry." My lips are sealed.
"Let's go back then, to the moment they called your sister's name at the reaping," says Caesar. His mood is quieter now. "And you volunteered. Can you tell us about her?"
"No. No, not all of you. But maybe Cinna." I don't think I'm imagining the sadness on his face. "Her name is Prim. She's just 12. And I love her more than anything." You could hear a pin drop in the city circle now.
"What did she say to you after the reaping?"
Caesar asks. "Be honest, be honest." I swallow hard. "She asked me to try really hard to win." The audience is frozen, hanging on my every word.
"And what did you say?"
prompts Caesar gently. But instead of warmth, I feel an icy rigidity take over my body. My muscles tense as they do before a kill. When I speak, my voice seems to have dropped an octave. "I swore I would."
"I bet you did,"
says Caesar, giving me a squeeze. The buzzer goes off.
"Sorry, we're out of time. Best of luck, Katniss Everdeen. Tribute from District 12.
The applause continues long after I'm seated. I look to Cinna for reassurance. He gives me a subtle thumbs up. I'm still in a daze for the first part of PETA's interview. He has the audience from the get-go, though. I can hear them laughing, shouting out. He plays up the baker's son thing, comparing the tributes to the breads from their districts. Then has a funny anecdote about the perils of the capital showers.
"Tell me, do I still smell like roses?"
he asks Caesar. And then there's a whole run where they take turns sniffing each other that brings down the house. I'm coming back into focus when Caesar asks him if he has a girlfriend back home. PETA hesitates and gives an unconvincing shake of his head.
"Handsome lad like you, there must be some special girl. Come on, what's her name?"
says Caesar. PETA sighs. "Well, there is this one girl. I've had a crush on her ever since I can remember, but I'm pretty sure she didn't know I was alive until the reaping." Sounds of sympathy from the crowd, unrequited love they can relate to.
"She have another fellow?" asks Caesar.
"I don't know, but a lot of boys like her," says PETA.
"So, here's what you do. You win, you go home. She can't turn you down then, eh?"
says Caesar encouragingly.
"I don't think it's going to work out. Winning won't help in my case," says PETA. "Why ever not?" says Caesar, mystified.
PETA blushes beet red and stammers out,
Because she came here with me."
Part 2. The Games. Chapter 10. For a moment, the cameras hold on PETA's downcast eyes as what he says sinks in. Then I can see my face, mouth half open in a mix of surprise and protest, magnified on every screen as I realize, me. He means me. I press my lips together and stare at the floor, hoping this will conceal the emotion starting to boil up inside of me.
"Oh, that is a piece of bad luck," says Caesar, and there's a real edge of pain in his voice.
The crowd is murmuring in agreement. A few have even given agonized cries.
"It's not good," agrees PETA.
Well, I don't think any of us can blame you. It'd be hard not to fall for that young lady, says Caesar. She didn't know?
Peeta shakes his head.
Not until now.